The title of my sermon this morning is Embracing Healing for Today, Hope for Tomorrow, and Guidance for a New Year. We are gathered on the threshold of a new year. We are once again reminded of God's power to heal, to restore, and to guide. And I want us to focus today on what God is able to do in our lives. The themes that we look at as a church, the topics of our sermons, they're not meant to just be for reflection. They are meant to actually help us in our daily lives. And our anchor verse this morning is found in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. You know, God's promise is that no matter where we are in life, if we feel broken, weary, or uncertain, his healing is available to us. His hope is eternal, and his guidance for us is perfect. We're going to explore four truths together this morning. Embracing God's healing for today, trusting in God's hope for tomorrow, following God's guidance for the new year, and experiencing healing and wholeness in Christ. First point, embracing God's healing for today. Psalm 147 verse 3 reminds us, he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. The psalmist here is reflecting on the compassionate nature of God. The Hebrew word for heals, rapha, it indicates restoration, making whole. God's healing is not only physical, but it's also emotional and spiritual. He is the one who binds our wounds. He is the one who addresses our pain. And those fractures that exist in all of our lives, he is able to heal. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, Jesus extends an invitation. Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. The rest part is part of the healing process. We are meant to lay our heads on Christ. We are meant to draw our strength from Christ. Looking around over the Christmas period, and certainly before the Christmas period, there were lots of people who seemed to be carrying heavy burdens. Bags full of presents, chocolate, nuts, Christmas shopping. I mean, I hate going to the supermarkets just before Christmas. I made the mistake last Sunday, because I was going to the cash till, of trying to cut through Marks and Spencers. And it took me 5 minutes to get from the back door to the front door, or from one side to the other. Whichever, from one entrance to the other exit took me 5 minutes, because there were people all around with these shopping trolleys laden, far more than they could ever possibly eat in a single meal. I think in our lives we bring baggage, we carry things that we're not meant to carry. All of us have got things that worry us, all of us have got things that we care about, but we need to cast our burdens upon the Lord, for he is the one who can bring relief. He's the one who is able to carry the loads that we cannot carry ourselves. It's almost like we're depositing stuff in a spiritual shopping trolley that Jesus will push instead of us having to carry it. There are times in our lives, I think, when we just need to stop and pause and let God be God. Or think of a potter repairing a broken vessel. The Japanese art of kintsugi is where you take a pot that's broken and you repair it. Now, maybe you could use something like super glue, but in kintsugi, they use a mixture of glue and gold to actually create something that is more beautiful than it was to begin with. And God will often use the brokenness in our lives, the scars in our lives, to create something beautiful, to create something extraordinary. The author Max Lucado wrote this, God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. God works in us, he works through us, he transforms us. He prepares us for the life that he has designed for us. We need to trust him. He is able to restore beauty to brokenness. He is able to give strength to those who are weak. We need to embrace the healing that he offers to us. The second point is we need to trust in God's hope for tomorrow. We all know this verse, Jeremiah 29:11. To put it in context, it was written to the Jews that were in captivity and would be in captivity for many, many years. Yet God comforted them by saying, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." The Israelites were worried. The Israelites were scared. Yet through Jeremiah, God assures them that he has a sovereign plan for them. The Hebrew word for hope that's used here, tikvah, it conveys expectation, but it also conveys trust. It's an expectant hope. Even in difficulties, God's plans for us are unfolding for his and our ultimate good. Romans 15:13 reminds us, "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him." Hope is not vague. It's not a wish. Hope is something that is a confident expression that's anchored in the promises of God. We have a blessed assurance, not just a maybe. Imagine planting seeds in winter. You trust that spring will come, that when spring comes, that the things that you have planted will grow. The hope of God works in a similar way. We may not always see the outcome immediately, but his plans are sure and certain. They will come to fruition. It was Charles Spurgeon who said, "Hope itself is like a star, not to be seen in the sunshine of prosperity and only to be discovered in the night of adversity." I love the way that Puritans said things. There was such a poetry about the way that they spoke. You can't see stars during the day. You can only see them at night. When your way needs to be illuminated, when you need the light in the darkness. And sometimes it feels perhaps that our nights are the darkest. That's when our minds run amok. That's when we perhaps wake up in the middle of the night worrying about what we've done or what may happen. But God is with us. And when we hope in him, we can trust him. He is the beacon for our year ahead. He is the light that shines in the darkness. We remember at Christmas time the incarnation of Jesus, born to be the light of the world. And he can shine a light into the darkest parts of our lives. Third point, follow God's guidance for a new year. Proverbs 3:5-6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." In many ways, this verse is a verse that is calling for a life of surrender. The Hebrew word for trust, betach, it signifies complete reliance. To seek his will means prioritizing God's direction in every decision. Every decision? Yeah. Sometimes I think we think that we know better than God. Sometimes I think that we try to impose our will on God. But God's will is sovereign. God's will is perfect. And he knows far better than you or I about what is right and what is wrong. And maybe the problem that the world has today is that it refuses to acknowledge God's will. There are many in the world that refuse to acknowledge the existence of God. There are comedians who continue to mock God. There are people who will use the name of Jesus happily as a swear word, but will never use it to actually ask him into their lives. The idea of praising and worshipping God is far from the world because they want to praise and worship themselves. Sadly, there are far more people who would rather listen to an influencer than actually consult the word of the living God. I'm thankful we know the truth. I'm thankful that God has brought us from darkness into light, that he has revealed himself to us, and we know the truth that's in his word. And maybe in the coming year, as our theme becomes go, we will go. We will go and follow the great commission that Jesus has given to us, not treat it like the great suggestion. Go into all the world, preach and make disciples. Oh, but you might say, oh, but I'm not a preacher. No, but you have a testimony. You know what Jesus has done in your own life. You know what you were like before. Praise God, this is the improved version. All of us can share something of who God is to us. And there may be those within our families, there may be our neighbours, our colleagues, who think that we've lost the plot. But we still need to speak truth, to tell them who Jesus is, to explain how they can be saved for themselves. Trust God in everything. Trust God when you speak to someone. Trust God when you need to be the voice crying out in the wilderness. This verse, as I say, it calls for surrender. It calls for reliance. It calls us to seek his will. But Psalm 32:8, it reassures us. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Isn't it wonderful that God's guidance is both intimate and comprehensive? If you think of a compass guiding a traveller through an uncharted area, God's word is what acts as our compass. It ensures that we stay on course. To use a modern analogy, it's like God gives us a GPS in the word of God that leads us, that guides us when we're willing to consult it. When I drive, I have a GPS on. My wife hates it because it's always giving advice and warnings about what's ahead. And the car that I'm driving at the moment, it warns me of things like speed cameras and speed limits, and it beeps at weird and wonderful times, and I get distracted trying to work out what it is that my car's trying to warn me of rather than looking at the environment around me. My car beeps if I move slightly out of the lane that I should be in. My car beeps if a car gets too close to me or too near the sides of where I'm driving. And I noticed the other day that my car, on the wing mirrors, a little orange triangle lights up when there's something in my blind spot. And the word of God can really illuminate those blind spots in our lives. It doesn't speak of everything that exists in the world today. For example, it doesn't talk about the internet. It doesn't talk about Amazon or online shopping. The Bible doesn't even mention chocolate. And yet, it is something that we can live by because the fundamental principles, the fundamental truth of God's word is applicable to us. Rick Warren said this, "The more you trust God, the more your life will be transformed. Trust is the bridge to freedom." Let me ask you, friends, do you trust God this morning? Do you trust him in the little things, or do you trust him in everything? By seeking God's guidance, by trusting in him, we align our steps with his purpose, his divine purpose, and we can be confident when we place our trust in him, that he will guide us, that he will lead us, that as we step into 2025, he has already prepared our way. But let's be willing to let him transform us and change us. Fourth point, experiencing healing and wholeness in Christ. Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. This verse is a prophetic verse that points ahead to the ultimate sacrifice and the ultimate healing that's found in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The word healed, rapha, it encompasses physical, emotional, and spiritual restoration. Not just patching up, but restoring. If you've ever seen those programs on the BBC where they get old things and they restore them, they make them look like new. In Christ, we are like new. We're no longer sinners. We're children of the living God. And yes, we are prone to sin. Yes, we do things wrong. Yes, we don't get it right all the time. But the difference is now we're adopted into the family of Christ. When we've repented, our sins have been forgiven. We are no longer who we were. We're not yet who we're going to be, because God is still working in us and through us. He's still changing us and transforming us. He's still sanctifying us and making us fit for heaven. But in Christ, we are saved. In Christ, we are healed. In Christ, we are delivered. Jesus bore our pain so that we could experience wholeness. He bore our suffering. He paid the price that we could never pay for ourselves. James 5:15 reminds us of this. A prayer offered in faith will heal the sick and the Lord will make you well. I think it's important to say that healing comes in many forms. Sometimes it's physical, often it's emotional. We will always know spiritual healing through Christ. Think of a stained glass window. When light shines through it, the broken pieces of the stained glass create a masterpiece. And in the same way, Christ's healing brings that beauty from the brokenness that's there. There's a famous lady called Joni Erickson Tada. She went swimming one day and during her time of recreation was involved in an accident which turned her into a quadriplegic. She still has to travel everywhere by wheelchair that's controlled through her mouth. Yet, even in her brokenness, she met with Christ. And she said, true healing is not the absence of pain, but the presence of God. When we feel that circumstances are against us, when we feel that we, in our own strength, just can't do it, that's when God steps in. Let me encourage you this morning to embrace the healing that Christ offers. Trust him to bring spiritual wholeness to you now and in the coming year. As we conclude the sermon, let's embrace, trust and follow, and also experience the healing, the wholeness that comes in Jesus Christ. Know the truth of Isaiah 40:29. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. And today, whether you feel weak or strong, whether you feel like you just need an injection of energy into your life, as my old man would say, you need a bit of oomph. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, can work in us and through us and energize us, change us, transform us. We can trust in him. As we step into this new year, let's embrace God's healing for today. Let's bring our wounds to him, whether they're physical, emotional, or spiritual. Let's cast our cares to him because he cares for us. Let's trust in God's hope for tomorrow. Let's believe in his good plans. In fact, his plans are more than good. They're perfect. Let's follow his guidance for a new year. Let's surrender every decision to him. Where shall I work? What should I say? Maybe even what should I wear? I mean, what we wear, we could cause offence to others. I've got a number of t-shirts that have spiritual, scriptural, biblical verses on them. And when I've walked into a shop wearing them, I get weird stares from people. I have one that says, salvation is found in no other name. Whenever I walk into a shop, people don't ask me about it. But I went in a shop the other day wearing a Doctor Who t-shirt and the guy said to me, which is your favourite doctor? And I should have taken the opportunity and said, well, you know, Jesus is the great physician. I could have taken that as an opportunity to actually speak life, lie it. Unfortunately, I didn't think of that until I was back in my car and driving off. So next time I wear it, I'll use that one. We need to trust God. We must trust God. And let's also experience the healing and wholeness that Christ offers to us. Let him bring beauty from brokenness. And let's be honest, all of us are broken in some way or another. None of us are perfect. All of us have got cracks. They may be hairline, they may be on the inside, but God can heal from the inside out. So what areas of your life do you need healing in? What areas of your life do you need hope in? What areas of your life do you need guidance in? Bring them to Jesus. Lay them before the Lord. Come to him in prayer and trust him to answer. And maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord. Maybe that's a decision you've been putting off. Today is the perfect time. Remember Romans 10:9, it promises if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a promise from God that is certain and sure. So this year, let's move forward together. Let's trust God to lead. Let's trust God to guide. Let's trust God to cause us to go and tell others, to go and love one another, to go and share the truth of the gospel, to go and be different, to go and trust him in every step that we take. We're going to sing and then we'll move into a time of prayer. We can pray for one another. We can pray for those in need. But let's also pray that God will heal this community, that many may know him as Lord and Saviour.